Alrighty, hello everybody. Back again with another video. This week I'm going to be going out and buying some clip-on microphones so I can do more in-person content because right at the start of the channel I said I was going to do like some in-person videos, but I just hadn't really got round to it. But this week I'm buying some equipment so yeah, I can do a little bit more than just these lame voiceovers because you only get so much out of voiceover content, you know? I feel like the personal touch is missing when you just do commentary like this. But anyway, this is going to have to suffice for this video. In today's video, we're going to be talking about one-itis, okay? The reason why I wanted to talk about this topic is, you know, there was this girl that I used to know. And we were friends through till about 2021. And, you know, I was kind of friend zoned. I wasn't really that into this girl. She was kind of on the cusp of what I was into. But anyway, we were friends for like, you know, several years. And for the first like year and a half that we were friends, she had a boyfriend. Now, I don't know too much about this guy other than what she told me. I met him, I think, twice, but not enough to get much of a gauge of this guy's personality. They'd been together for like a year and a half, and eventually he broke it off with her, okay? He dumped her. And for the next year, and this is almost part of why I stopped talking to her, is she could not get over the fact that this guy had dumped her. She could not get over it. And I remember it was kind of annoying because, you know, if you gave her the blue pill, like, oh, you know, you'll find someone else, she'd be like, oh, he was the perfect guy. You know, I'll never find anyone like him ever again. But then if you gave her the black pill and you said, like, yeah, you know, you're right. You know, he's probably with some other girl right now who's prettier than you know, younger than you. He probably just woke up one day and decided he could do better. And yeah, you're right. He was probably the best you're ever going to get. You know, if I had said that to her, and a couple of times I sort of gave her like a sprinkling of black pill, and she got, you know, she got super mad at me, and you know, it's like, oh, you know, I'm going through the worst time in my life, and you're trying to like, you know, destroy my last little bit of hope. And eventually, I just kind of stopped talking to her. I haven't spoken to her in about like a year. But anyway, so I used to know this girl and, you know, we used to talk. And when she would reminisce about the time that they were together, she would become frustrated with it because she's like, he was perfect for me. You know, we liked the same music, we had the same values, we lived close to each other. You know, he was pretty much perfect. He was my dream guy. You know, she wasn't so much sad that he had dumped her, but she was frustrated that he had dumped her. It was almost as if, like, how can he not see? If only he could stop being so thick-headed. If only he could see how perfect we are for each other, then he would come back. Because I know that we're perfect for each other, and he just needs to have like a little bit more maturity, and then he'll have like this moment of epiphany that he's almost at, but just, you know, is it's a little bit too young to understand that we are perfect for each other. Like, this is how she thought, right? This is how she dealt. This was her way of coping with the fact that he didn't want to be with her. Now, this is a little bit different to one-itis that a lot of guys get, because usually with guys, they never even got to be with her, right? Like, at least in this case, like, they were together. But it's the same psychology. You know, when they'll meet someone that they might not have initially been that attracted to, but they become more attracted to them once they discover, you know, once that kind of that closeness, that affiliation builds up. You know, their brain plays a trick on them where they think that this person is like their perfect match, and they can't let go of it. And what I've noticed about one-itis and all of the kind of similar types of, you know, psychological tricks that people's brains play on them. This is not just something that affects low-value guys, okay? Even like Chads and like, you know, Giga Stacys, they all, well, not all of them, but, you know, I've noticed that this is one of those things that transcends looks and options, okay? You can have a girl that has like a gazillion options, but she will not be able to get over some like high tier normie ex-boyfriend. It transcends SMV. Anyway, so when I was a kid, there was a really, really bad kids movie that came out in the early 90s. It was a really bad family movie called The Mighty Ducks, right? But suffice to say that the main character, I forget the actor's name, but you'll know him. He's one of those like 80s actors. It's like Emilio Estevez or something like that, whatever his name is. So the Emilio Estevez character, he participated in the 70s in a championship ice hockey game, and it was the final, and it was like a penalty goal. So long story short, if he gets it in the goal, if he gets the ice hockey puck in the goal, his team win the championship. And if he misses, they lose, or it's a draw, or whatever the case is, right? And of course, there's this whole subplot about how the coach is a bully and puts all this pressure on him. Anyway, so the moment of truth comes. He takes a swing at the goal, and the ice hockey puck hits the side of the cage, and it ricochets. It hits the bar and bounces away from the goal. So he came within, you know, an inch of winning the championship game. But the puck hits the side of the bar, you know, the side of the cage there, hits the bar, ricochets to the left, and he's destroyed. And it's like, you know, it's haunted him for 20 years, you know. He lost his passion for the game, and that's like the basis of the movie. Now, it's been more than 30 years since I've seen this film, and like I said, it's super cheesy, super cheesy. But for some reason, I still remember the metaphor, because later in the movie, when he's recounting this tale to his, you know, adoptive son-in-law, the kid says, like, yeah, you know, it could have gone in, you know, it could have gone to the right and you would have won the championship game, but it could have easily gone further to the left and you still would have lost the game. Like, it's so easy to think, God, you know, if only it had gone a little bit to the right, things would have all been different, but it could have easily gone to the left, right? And you're so focused on what could have been, but just wasn't. Now, I know that's like a kind of a cheesy metaphor, but yeah, it's been more than 30 years since I've seen that film, and I still remember this metaphor, and it popped into my own mind, you know, in the past when I was younger. And I'm not just talking about one-itis, I'm talking about like when something is so close to being that you so want, but it just isn't. Or it could be something inherent, you know? You might have like a really good face and be only 5'7". It's like, God, if only I could be 5 inches, 6 inches taller, I would slay, but I'm only 5'7". It's like, yeah, but, you know, you could have been 5'3", okay? People get so, you know, hung up. If only it was a little bit better, if only I just lucked out that little bit more. But it could have been the other way around. It could have been way worse than what it is. And this is true with one-itis. You see, it's so easy to say, like, you know, there's this girl. I'm attracted to her. I can tell she's attracted to me. If only she could see that we would make so much sense together. But she just doesn't see it. And what you have to realize is that the fact that she doesn't want to be with you, the fact that she doesn't see it, is definitional proof that you're not perfect for each other. You know, like going back to that girl before, the fact that he dumped her was evidence that they weren't meant to be together. So all of the things that like, oh, could have been, you know, but what about these other things that made us perfect for each other? It doesn't matter. He's not into you. Okay, you weren't meant to be together for that very reason. It's not a flaw in his logic. Like if you are meant to be together, then he wouldn't fail to understand that you're meant to be together. And yeah, the same thing is true with guys. Like, sometimes you meet a girl and it seems like, you know, she could be attracted to. You can't really tell. You're definitely into her, and you know, you're definitely, you know, your brain has played a trick on you that maybe you weren't attracted to her at first, but the more you talk to her, the more you're forced to spend time with her, the more into her you become. And it's like, you know, you can't seem to distract yourself with anyone else. It's like it's got to be this one person. And yeah, to to get mad that they don't like you back, or to become frustrated that they can't see what you can see. You know, it's like getting mad that the puck didn't go an inch to the right. Okay, fine, it didn't, but it could have gone an inch to the left, you know? It's just the way it is. You know, next time you think to yourself, like, if only it wasn't for this one problem, this one flaw, this one chink in the armor, everything would be so much better. You know, I remember I was reading a hair loss forum, and a guy was talking about how, you know, he looks in the mirror and he's such a good looking guy, but he's balding. And it's like, you know, if I wasn't balding, I would be such a good looking guy, he was saying. But it's like, dude, you know, you could have been balding and unattractive. You could have been just as attractive as you are now, have a full head of hair, but been 5'3". Like, that's just the hand that you were dealt. Yes, you know, you could have been dealt a perfect hand. You could have been dealt a worse hand. But just accept the hand that you were dealt is the hand you were always meant to be dealt. You know, what actually got me thinking about this metaphor, the one before with the hockey puck hitting the side of the goalpost, it was when I was in Vietnam. I'm not sure if I mentioned this story, but when I was in Vietnam, a giant credenza almost dropped on my head. I was at the roundabout in downtown Saigon near Bui Vuin, and I was in my own little head. You know, I think I had headphones in because the noise is so deafening as you're walking along with all the scooters. And this like 70-year-old lady came out with a broomstick, and she was like shoving me, and she was yelling at me in Vietnamese. But I could tell she wasn't mad. I could tell that she was panicking on my behalf, like, move, move. So I instinctively just jumped forward away from the broomstick that she was hitting me with. And then she darted inside the little shop that, you know, she had jumped out of. And a couple of seconds later, this giant credenza came smashing. And this thing weighed like 200 kilograms. This thing was enormous and just smashed all over the road. And I was looking at it just, you know, in 100 pieces on the pavement there. If that had landed on my head, it would have been sunset, okay? Permanent sunset for me. And if it had kind of grazed me, like landed its full weight, landing on, like, say, my shoulder blade, there was no doubt I would have been paralyzed, okay? Like, brain damage because of the impact as it rolled over on me. And, you know, if that had have touched me in any way, it would have been life-changing. And, yeah, I was a little bit kind of shaken up about it. Like, for the next hour, I was like, you know when you find yourself, when your adrenaline's kind of been spiked and you're like, your hands are shaking a little bit? You know, after you've been in a fight, even if you didn't get hurt, you're all hot and bothered. Like, your adrenaline's pumping and you're stuttering and you're just a bit out of sorts. Like, after this credenza almost, you know, landed on my head, I went to a coffee shop and I was like, can I get a latte? A latte with 3 sugars, please? Because I was all like jittery. And yeah, for like an hour or so, I was ruminating over what had just happened. Like, God, you know, a few seconds or, you know, 2 seconds earlier or later, and I'd be being scraped off the road right now by a Vietnamese ambulance. You know, the fate of a few seconds. But yeah, I also thought about it later, and I was like, yeah, you know, 2 seconds either way, I could have gotten hit by that thing. But 30 seconds later, and I would have missed it by an extra 30 seconds. You know, 5 minutes later, and I would have not even known about it. You know, wouldn't have known that 2 guys were up on the 3rd floor of some, you know, Vietnamese villa clearing out an old room, an old attic that had a credenza in it. You know, I don't know what was going on. But obviously the old lady, who must have been like, you know, the grandmother, knew that her grandsons were 3 stories up and about to throw something out the window and had told the neighboring shopkeepers to stay inside. But yeah, with regards to one-itis, sometimes you meet somebody and, you know, you feel that there could be something there, but they just don't see it. Or maybe you had something and then you've lost it and they no longer feel that way anymore. And you start to think, you know, if only they could see how much sense we would make. We're 80% of the way there. But, you know, you could easily be 60%. That's just where the chips fell. It didn't fall at 100%. So move on with your life.